Morning, everyone. Today's daf is daf Lamed Gimel in Avodah Zarah. And we continue on the bottom of Lamed Beis. Lamed Beis, and we're at the two dots. Hochen Latarfus. Asun Lases Lases Imahem. This is a continuation of the Mishnah. Mishnah, we spent some time talking about Stam Yenam Yai Nesach. We talked about vinegar. We talked yesterday about the Cheres Hadriani, Hadrian earthenware. Oros Levuvim was the topic of discussion yesterday. And now we move on. And we also spoke about meat that was going into the house of idolatry. Okay. Hochen Latarfus. So Tarfus is some sort of pilgrimage that they did. Right? And they went on their pilgrimages. The Mishnah says that on the way to the pilgrimages, you can't do any business with them. Okay, and it makes sense. The whole idea is that they're going
to worship
their idol. And on the course of worshiping their idol, they're going to be very religious. Not in a good way, but in other words, they're going to be very religious. And then finally, when they get to their, you know, whatever it is, their Mecca. When they get there, they're going to say, okay, good, I thank my deity. So you can't...
It doesn't mean you have a booth that's already 30 feet out of your way. That's talking about that. I'm talking about the...
Like thinking, well, we're going to see with the Gemara's explanation. We'll see. We'll see what it would include.
No, I'm saying if you sell it, like you say, veins on the road.
I understand, but okay, we'll see about that.
Some not sneezing stuff when they were in their.
Yeah, but the all true. But the Mishnah's basic point is that you can't do business with them as they're on their way. Now, the Mishnah doesn't say this, and I haven't seen anyone say this as well. But we already know that as we approach. As we approach their festival days, you can't do business with them. You can't do business with them 3 days beforehand. But this is not a calendar date. This is just simply them going and doing their pilgrimage, right? Lahavdil Alfe Avdalos. We go on our pilgrimage when we had a temple 3 times a year. I don't know how often they do it, but there's not necessarily. A specific time that they go on their pilgrimage. They just simply say, it's time to go. So, correct me if I'm wrong, anyone, but in the Muslim world, they don't have to go at any given point in time. They just simply have to go once a year. Right? Correct? Incorrect?
Something.
But as a specific time?
End of Ramadan.
Ramadan is the end.
Okay. Let's be clear that I don't know what I'm talking about. Let's be absolutely clear. And it's on tape, which is even better. The Gemara, Hochen Latarfus, Asur Lases Lases Imahem, but you can't do business with them. And it doesn't seem like there's any day in which you can't do. In other words, as long as you know they're on their way, so then you can't do business. Amr Shmuel, Ove Kelcham Ma'olech Latafas Ba'alicha Asur Dazal Modem Kameh Avodas Kochavim. On their way up, so they're very religious. So you can't do business with them because when they get there, Azal Modem. Now, Azal Modem is the same terminology that we discussed in the beginning of the Masechta, and it means that they're going to thank their God. Right? They just acquired something, they just purchased something, and okay, good. It's a great opportunity to thank my deity. Bichazara, but when they come back, so the Mishnah says mutter, that's okay. In other words, once they're coming back from their pilgrimage, you know, once upon a time they were religious, now on their way home they're not so religious, and that's fine. My dahave hava, the Gemara uses a great expression. It happened. We're done. We're going home. He's not going to go back to his to wherever he came from. My dahave hava. However, let's say that instead of a non-Jew, let's say it's Yisrael. And not going to Yerushalayim. Let's say it's a Yisrael going on his idolatrous pilgrimage. So haholech letarfus bahalicha mutter. So even though he's telling you, right, he stops at your little hotel, your little bed and breakfast, and you say to him, "Where are you going?" He says, "I'm going on my idolatrous pilgrimage." So the Raisa says, "Mutter, yeah, it's okay. You could do business with him. It's fine, right?" And the explanation goes. Dilma Hadar Bey, because he may change his mind. Yeah, he, right. It's possible. Dilma Hadar Bey, velo azel, and he may not go through with his plan. However, bechazara, but once he's on his way back, so it says aser kevan de avig bey mehadar hadar. But unfortunately, says the Bryce, that's unbelievable how true this is. Unfortunately, once he's sucked in, He's really sucked in. And he's going to... And on his way back, you can't do any business with him because the Braisa says that he's going to write the cave into Avik Bay since he's so clinging to it. Mahadar Hadar Azal. He for sure is going to go back in and thank his new deity some more. Now, we learned in another Braisa. So the Braisa over here, the first Braisa we learned today, very powerful Braisa, and just in terms of the idea of what happens. In other words, with a guy, you know, it's kind of casual. They're going up to their pilgrimage, okay, fine, but when they come back, my dahava hava. With a Jew, it's just the opposite. First of all, it's just a great lesson in just hope. Like, in other words, on his way there, the Braisa says, it's okay, you can do business with him because he's not going to go through with it. Right? That's an idea in hope and the power of doing tshuva. On the other hand, the Braisa says, once he went there, that's it. In other words, and once he's got it, he's stuck with it. It's like... It's just powerful ideas in this Braisa. The Hatayim will enter, however, in another Braisa. We're now in the top of Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph, we're in the top line. You saw all the Chatafas Beim Malicha Beim Chazar Aser. So the Braisa says that it's Aser both ways for the Jew. The Jew is going to go worship his new found God, unfortunately. And the Braisa says on his way there, you can't do business. On the way back, you can't do business. And that contradicts what we just learned in our first Braisa. Amar Avashi Kitanya Ibi Yisrael Momar Devadei Azel. Okay, so the Gemara says a simple answer and a good answer. We're talking about Yisrael Momer in the second Braisa, meaning he has a history. He has unfortunately, a past now of doing pilgrimage to this deity. And so you know he's not going to turn around. You know he's not going to go back. Tan Rabbanu Avikochav Meolech Liyurid, Bein Ba'alicha, Bein B'chazar, Motor. Yerid is not a pilgrimage. Yerid is just a market. Rashi, second Rashi on the page. Shuk shel avodas kochavim. Amil ovi kochavim ki azel escharuhu da azel. It's a market. It's like a flea market. It's not a pilgrimage. It's not necessarily a religious experience. Not like we were discussing the tarfus. So ovi kochavim olech li yerid bein balicha bein chazar motor. For the guy, either way, it's okay because it's just a flea market. Yisrael olech li yerid balicha motor bechazar aser. So, but with a Jew, so the Braisa says that on his way back, it's Aser. The Gemara says, I don't understand. What is that? So, Maishna Yisrael de Bechazar Aser. What is that? So, the Gemara explains, the Amri Avodesko Chavim Zavim, Demei Avodesko Chavim Ika Bahadei. So, the Gemara says, I'll tell you why. Because when the Jew went to the flea market, you know what he did? He sold an idol. And the proceeds that he got from that idol now is Demei Avodazara. Avodesko Chavim Nami, Nehme Avodesko Chavim Zavim. So the Gemara says, okay, if you're advancing that argument for a Jew, you don't want to advance the same argument for a guy? Let's be consistent. So the Gemara says, look, if the guy's going to the flea market, what is he selling over there? Shmata. That's my mother, you know, any piece of clothing. It's a shmata. So that's all he's selling over there. He's not selling anything, any religious articles. Yisrael Nami Neimayim Arglima Zavin Chamer Zavin. So the Gemara says, again, if that's what you're saying, the non-Jew is selling over there, so the Jew also selling shmata. That's all he's doing. Isa Dehavalei Hacha Havam Zavin Leit. Now, for the Jew... if that's all he's doing, he doesn't have to go to the Yerid. He doesn't need to go to that to this pagan flea market. Right. Business can be done right over here. The fact that he's going to a pagan flea market, pretty good indication that he's looking to sell idolatry. Otherwise, why would he go there? Habayin Mutarin. What do we learn in the Braisa? That when they come back, it's okay. Meaning, we're going back now to the Mishnah. The Mishnah said that we have a non-Jew. He goes up to his pilgrimage. So it's no good because he's religious. But when he's coming back from the pilgrimage, it's fine. My dahava hava. It's over. Right, moving on with life. That's only if they disbanded. But let's say they're coming back from the pilgrimage and there was just one cluster of idolaters walking back now from the pilgrimage, says Rav Reish Lakish. No, that's no good, right? Because as now they are banded on the way home, so it will maybe inspire them to think, let's turn around, let's go back. Right? Look what just happened. We just had a great business opportunity. We just purchased something. Let's go back. Let's return. It's amazing, by the way. It's from this Gemara, just a small psychological insight. Right? People as individuals think differently as peoples and group. We know this. We have this basic awareness that when you are a mob mentality, but this isn't so much a mob mentality. It's just it happens to be that as an individual, you think differently than when you're with a group of people. The Reish Lakish basically says it, that if they're coming back as individuals, my dahava hava, right? It's over. That was nice. But when they're a group, they're going to look at one another, and now the whole thinking process changes, and they're all going to say, "Oh boy, let's go back." All right. No does haobdi kocham mekan kenehem tan rabbanan. Okay, from here until the end of today's daf, it's all kashrus and kasher and kalim. Now, this is not going to be your standard kasher and kalim discussion in the Gemara. Later on in the Masechta, we're going to discuss more about it in terms of kasher and kalim. This is going to be complicated for a number of reasons. Number one, we're going to be talking about different types of materials, and quite honestly, as you'll see, the Rishonim are a little unsure about what the actual material is. So that's going to be one tricky part throughout this whole discussion. Another tricky part through this discussion is that we're not going to be talking about foods that are cooked in the kli, in the utensil. But we're just talking about storage, cold storage. Now, generally speaking, our position on cold storage is cold storage doesn't create any type of blia, any type of absorption into the kli. But here we're not just talking about cold storage, we're talking about cold storage of wine. Now, wine may be a little bit different because wine is sharp, wine is strong, and it's not, I understand it's not an onion, it doesn't have that kind of sharpness to it, but there's a little more to it than just that. So, and the other, just one other variable in this discussion before we go in, is that also we're going to talk a lot about Kli Cheres. Kli Cheres is a strange animal, it's earthenware. And the Gemara says that earthenware absorbs. Now, what the Gemara later on will say, if we get to it today, which there's a good chance we will, Kli Cheres, once it absorbs, right, the Gemara says it doesn't expunge. So that's going to be another variable in this discussion. We're not talking about a metal kli or a wood kli. We're talking about, not throughout the entire Gemara, but a good part of the Gemara, Kli Cheres, which also is another tricky part to this whole discussion. Okay, a lot of variables. Yes, absolutely. That's correct, absolutely correct. So,
what's going on?
No, it's because you'll see that we're gonna be concerned even if they just use it one time, even if it didn't sit there for 24 hours. Okay, but there will be something similar to Kavish Kimavushal. Tana Rabbanan, we start off with a Braisa. We're towards the middle of the Amud Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph. No does of the Kochamim Gerudim Chadashim Mutarim Yeshanim Umizufafin Asurin. Nodos are leather flasks. Okay? They used to take the hides of animal and create pouches amongst them that still done to this day. Okay, leather flasks. So if they are Grudim Chadashim. Now Rashi over here writes the following. Grudim Garis Bedalit. So first of all, the correct word, says Rashi, is with a dalit, meaning as I just read it, Grudim, not Gerurim. Kamo lehit gared bo'she'in bahen zefes. So Rashi explains, what do we mean when we say leather pouches? Leather pouches that don't have any pitch inside of it. What they used to do is they used to put a lining of pitch inside of it, much like the teva, right? The Noach's teva and Moshe's teva. So they put a lining of pitch, and that would create a more water-resistant barrier so that the liquid that you go in stays in and doesn't come out. So here Rashi says, Geruda. I don't have a chaver for it. I don't know where else we find this word. But it means that it does not have pitch. She'ein b'im zephes, ve'ein chadashim, and they're new. So no pitch, totally new, mutarim. Why? De'bechnisas yayin, Rashi writes, zman muat lo bala or, v'nodos dafka ava klicheres bala la'altar. So Rashi writes that when it comes to the leather pouches, it takes a little bit of time for it to absorb. So in other words, for the leather flask, at its first usage, that's okay, that's not a problem. Rashi writes, this is in contradistinction to Kli Cheres. Kli Cheres absorbs immediately, but this is not Kli Cheres right now, we're talking about no dose. So if it is not pitched, Rashi says that's Grudim, and it's Chadashim, and it's relatively new, so it's fine. In other words, you could buy these pouches from the non-Jew and use it for whatever you want.
and the taste would not be affected.
Right. There would be no taste in there. There's no absorption.
You find by Yoel, about
She's using, right, she's using this leather flask. Mizufafin asurin. Rashi writes, what is this mizufafin? Klamar. Oh, yeshenim o mizufafin. Now, Rashi over here says either or, meaning in this second part of the brisa, either point is going to be a critical point. Either it was used or it was pitched. Yeshenim I did the kanis ba yayin nesach zman meruba. Bala or. Number one, if it's old, says Rashi, so that means over the course of time, eventually it does absorb. The leather does absorb some of the yayin nesach. By the way, every time we say the word yayin nesach, it doesn't have to be actual libation, right? That's a term that we use for just wine of a non-Jew. We could also call it stam yayinim as well, but in the halachic viewpoint, there's no difference. One is biblically prohibited, one is rabbinically prohibited, but they're both essentially the same. If it's pitched, afilu b'chad azim nebala zefes layayin. So Rashi an explanation on the Gemara says the pitch absorbs the wine immediately. Pitch is like cheres in that it is very it absorbs. It's very spongy, and so therefore, even with one usage, it's going to absorb. Rivavan v'ivdan v'nasan l'socho yayin. I'm sorry. Okay. If, however, the pitch was removed and wine was poured, and a Jew is watching the wine be poured in, so the Braisa says eino choshesh. Okay. The first two points on the Braisa were fine. It's that last part of the Braisa which is difficult, right? Very difficult. So the last part of the Braisa is telling us that if we have the non-Jew scrape out the pitch. Good. And then he pours wine in, and the Jew standing there and watching, oh, it's okay. What? V'chime Acha, the Gemara says, I don't understand. A Jew's watching a non-Jew pour wine in. Take out the pitch and then pour wine in. So, Rivavan? I'm sorry, he's pouring the pitch in. Oh, you're right. I'm sorry. Right, he's pouring the pitch in. But still, in other words, the non-Jew is pouring the wine in.
Wait.
So the Gemara says, that, I don't get it. The non-Jew is pouring the wine in. So that's yayin nesach. That's tam yeinam. He's handling the wine. And the Jew is watching, and that's okay, though? And that's not okay. So Amar Papa hachikamar. So Papa says, correct point, very well taken. We'll say pshat in the brisa like this. Ovi kochavim rivavan. The non-Jew finished the leather pouch, meaning he's the one who poured the pitch in, right? They would heat up the pitch, pour it into the thermos, kind of mix it about, so it creates a nice lining inside the leather flask. Good, he did that. And then, a Jew poured the wine in, and that's okay. Now that's okay, by the way, but the Braisa doesn't make any sense, because still part of the Braisa's text is, and another Jew is watching. Okay, if a Jew is pouring the wine in, why does he need a mashgiach? Right? Usually Jews don't need another mashgiach. So so the Gemara, even though it's a better pshat, but it's still not a good pshat. I don't need that. Dilma agav tirda minasech v'lava daite. Interesting answer of the Gemara. No, you do need it, because when you're pouring wine into the flask, apparently that requires a tremendous amount of concentration. Now, again, if we had a visual over here, it would help us, because I don't see it being such a big deal. But the Gemara says it is, so apparently it is. So it requires a tremendous amount of concentration. And he's too focused right now on the act of pouring the wine into the flask. So the Gemara says, so he's not going to notice, just in terms of our attention, when we're locked into something, it's always true. When we're locked into something, it's hard for us to notice other things going around. And the guy who's there, and the reason why he's there is because he finished the thermos. He's the one who laid the pitch inside. The guy who's there may use it as an opportunity to maybe do a little bit of nisuch while the Jew is not looking. So under those circumstances, this is the answer provided by... who says this answer? I'm sorry, who do I credit? No, nobody. No, the Ravzid's the next answer. Okay, I don't know. The Gemara gives it as an anonymous suggestion. And so because his attention is so focused, he's not going to see that. Now you do the nesach, do a little bit of libation.
Or just he's going to pour a little of his own wine.
Pour a little bit of his own wine. Or maybe looking at it is not no. It's funny, by the way, because I hear this a lot, right? With a non-Jew looking at it, and I don't know where that comes from, or whatever. And so the non-Jew will do a little bit of libation, and that's why you need a mashgiach over there. Okay, that's the first suggestion that the Gemara makes in terms of why I need another Jew standing and watching. Rav Zvid Amar La'olam Kedekamar Mikara. So the Gemara says, Rav Zvid says, no, let's go back to our first pshat. Okay? Because over here now, what we have done in this pshat is really went far away from really the nusach, the girs of the Braisa. We're now, in our new understanding of the Braisa, we have a Jew pouring in wine, another Jew watching him, but that's really not what the Braisa is saying. So let's go back. Let's go back to the original pshat in the Braisa. Let's say it again. We have a leather flask. The non-Jew over there first pours in the pitch, right? And layers inside a layer of pitch. And then the Braisa says, and the non-Jew pours in a little bit of wine. And we looked at the Braisa and said, that can't be. Well, what's going on? He's pouring in Yayin Esach. That should be the end of the discussion. So Rav Zvid says, no. He's pouring in a little bit of wine that cools down the pitch. It solidifies the pitch. You know what it's like? It's like water in mortar, right? And you're making a mortar, you're making cement, you pour water in. The whole point of pouring the water in is that it's going to eventually harden and solidify the cement. And interestingly enough, this new pshat, which is better in terms of fitting into the words of the Braisa, is now making a tremendous chiddush, that when the wine is poured in for the purposes of solidifying the pitch that's inside, so eventually now you're going to have inside pitch which is constructed with a little bit of Yayin Nesach, but it loses its taste. And since it loses its taste, because now it's just part of the pitch, so therefore it's fine, it's not going to be a problem.
But what's losing its taste is the pitch.
The pitch is causing the wine, that little bit of wine, to lose that taste. Right? Okay, good. Rav Papi, so I'm Rav Papi. Shma mina midrazvid, hayo v'kocham d'sharacham l'bei milcha d'Yisrael sharei. So Rav Papi says, good. This answer of Rav Zvid is revolutionary. It's such a good answer, I think we can go with this answer. Okay, so again, the idea of Rav Zvid is that when you're adding wine to the pitch in order to harden it, in order to solidify it, we no longer, the Yayin Esach is no longer, it's just part of the material. And it's fine. So let's go with this answer, and let's say the following. Let's say we a little bit of Stam Yainam, a little bit of Yayin Esach, gets poured into salt. Now salt absorbs. And the salt's going to absorb the wine. So I don't see the wine anymore. Oh good. So it must be that salt is okay. Maskifla Ravashi. Midami Ravashi says, no it's not. Hasam kazali ibud, hachalo kazali ibud. No. When wine is being added to the pitch, you lose the wine. The wine now becomes part of the pitch, and there's nothing more to talk about. But when you pour into salt, it's true you don't see the wine anymore, but there's still the taste. The salt now is going to have a nice wine taste to it. Okay. One part of this Gemara, which I don't understand quite honestly, and maybe somebody here has a suggestion. What I'm not following is that when we're talking about Yayin Nesach and Stam Yainam, it's Asur Bahana. You can't get benefit from it. So on one hand, I do understand what the Gemara is saying in that you don't get the taste of the Yayin Nesach anymore. So there's no longer any tam. But aren't you benefiting from it? In other words, you have now fashioned in front of you a leather flask with a lining, and that lining is made from Stam Yena. Now, there's not only an Isser Achila, but there's also an Isser Hana. You know, to benefit from it. And what's the argument over here? Is the argument that since now it becomes part of the pitch, it's gone? Right? I'm asking.
You intrinsically need a Yai Nessa because potentially any liquid could actually have done the job.
Uh-huh.
You know, theoretically, even but the earthenware shards from yesterday, you know, because they are intrinsically, you know, the Yai, the whole reason for that device is the Yai Nessa, the Iker. Here you can say, okay, fine, you could have poured water, you could have poured, you know, almost like a shared cast.
But, Steve, I hear you, but here he actually poured in Stam Yena.
I think it neutralized.
The over Kohanim who's benefiting from it, because now he's able to sell.
Right, but you're right. But Stam Yena, in other words, you're going to be the end user of this leather flask, right?
Correct.
And that leather flask is made from Stam Yena. It's part of what was put in to make it.
The same thing as using shoes that are made from leather from a pig.
Right. Unless maybe the operative principle of it.
There is no Isser Hana from pig leather.
Right. There's by Stam Yena. There's an Isser Hana. You're not allowed to benefit from it. Maybe Bittel's the operative principle over here. Again, I'm asking. I'm not sure.
It's like the
Abraham
Bottomless
one. I think it disappears.
Yeah, right.
It just disappears.
But disappearing, though, I mean,
it
doesn't. Right. Sad. It's there. It's
wine, but you're aware that he had a machshava when he poured it, because when they do a sikha on wine.
Right. Okay. Look, I'm not sure.
But maybe it's the fact that the Jew is there watching him pour the wine in. So because the Jew is there,
but that's not gonna change the reality that it's Stam Yenam Yai Nesach being poured in. Okay, I'm asking. I'm not sure. Okay, Bar Idi Taya Anas Hahuzike Merav Yitzchak Bar Yosef. I don't know who these people are. Idi Taya confiscated bottles, flasks from Merav Yitzchak Bar Yosef. So he's a non-Jew. He poured a little bit of wine, used it for himself, and then handed it back. Okay? So now, right, the story is pretty straightforward. Flasks were confiscated from a Jew, used temporarily for wine, finished, handed back the flasks, and now he goes to the base medrash, also shall be midrasha. So now he brings his flasks into the base medrash and says, I got an issue, clearly. This was used by a non-Jew for wine for a little bit of time. So here's what you do. Okay, now listen carefully, because this is one of the main points of today's daf in terms of how to kasher. Now again, we say koshering, it is a strange discussion because koshering usually comes in the form of heat but we're not talking about, we're talking right now about cold storage of wine. So it's going to be a strange koshering procedure. If you've never learned this Gemara, you're going to say that's koshering. But yeah, in this context, it is koshering. Halacha l'maaseh, memalan mayim shloshu yamim ma'aran. So here's what you do: fill it with water for 3 days, right? Shloshu yamim ma'aran, and you pour it out. So in other words, for 3 24-hour periods, you fill it with water. Let the water sit there for 24 hours. Dump it out. And repeat that cycle another 2 more times. Okay. Every 24 hours you gotta pour it out. Now at first the Gemara thinks, oh, this is a however this works, which I'm not sure if I'm qualified to say how it works, but however it works, the Gemara at first thinks that's only if it was temporarily used by a non-Jew, like the case we're discussing right now. We're discussing a case where he took it away from me, used it once, maybe twice, and handed it back to me. Then this 3 times 24-hour water soaking works. But if, let's say, it was used by them a lot, and then I purchased it from them, maybe not. Doesn't matter. Does not matter. This is a way to get rid of the absorbed wine that went into the flasks. Sarav achabrei derava kamei derava shlemei marhani milah no dosava kan kanim lo. The Gemara says, look, maybe by leather flasks, right? Leather is not as porous a material, and so therefore, if you do the soaking, the 3-day soaking, that can expunge the taste from the leather pouch. But if we're talking about kankanim, earthenware is a significantly more porous material. Maybe no. Maybe it won't work over there. So Amar Le Rav Ashi Lo Shna Nodos Lo Shna Kankanim. The Gemara says no. This is an operative way of kashri for both leather and for earthenware as well. Tana Rabbanu. The Gemara says. Gemara quotes the Brisa. Kankanim Shalav De Kochav Chadashim Gerudim Mutarim Yishenim Umizufafim Asurim. Now we're going to turn our attention to Kankanim. So up until this point in time, from the beginning of the Gemara's discussion, halfway down it was leather flasks. Now we will spend the rest of today's daf discussing earthenware. So if you have earthenware, which is gerudim, again Rashi says, smooth, never been pitched, the layer of pitch. The pitch was also put into the earthenware as well. If this was unpitched, mutarim would be mutar. However, yishanim, umizufafim, and Rashi, he says either or. All right, either it was old or it was pitched, either one of them, asurim, then it's going to be prohibited. And so consequently, if it was used by them for wine, again, cold storage wine, so then you can buy it from them and you go through the 3-day soaking process in order to kosher it. Another koshering process. This one's strange. Sir or morias, fish brine, right? The fatty part of the fish, which apparently was very acidic, and also very very potent. So what you could do is you could put in the sir and morias. Rashi writes. Right, Tzira Morias Miyad Afa. It's the last Rashi on the page. Afa Pishalomilu Mayim Lefisha Tzira Morias Sorfin Esayayin Hanivla Umachlin Oso. It is very sharp, and what happens is that once you pour in a little bit of this fish brine into the klicheris, into the earthenware, it's good. You're fine. It'll totally expunge the taste of the wine. Now again, in our quote unquote normal world of koshering, this doesn't work. Pouring fish brine into a utensil to kosher it is not going to work. But again, over here we're not in the standard koshering procedure, because over here the absorption is not absorption through heat. The absorption is absorption of cold wine, and wine, because it's a little stronger, it's a stronger liquid, so it creates a quasi absorbed taste into the leather flask, and in our discussion into the earthenware jug. And so it's a quasi-absorbed taste, so it can be extracted through non-conventional means, notably 3-day soaking period in water, or what we just learned right now, fish brine. One application of fish brine. Rashi writes, by the way, miyad, it happens immediately. Right? It sounds like from Rashi that you could just pour the fish brine in, pour it out, and you're good to go. Sounds that way from Rashi. Ibailahu. We're now on the top of the next page. Lechatchila o diavad. This fish brine method, right? Is that when you don't simply have the time for 3 days of water? Or no, is that lechatchila tashma didni rav zvid bar oshiyal okech kankanim and ovdikochavim chadash nosan lasom yayin yishanim nosan lasom chotzir or moyas lechatchila. Brisa says it's fine. This is a preferable method. It's a method just as good as the 3-day water method. So the Gemara asks the question. Let's say I buy an earthenware jug. I don't want to do the 3-day water. I don't have any fish brine on me right now. What if I just put it right back into the oven? Is that going to work? I'm or late sir soreif or lo kol shekein. So the Gemara says it's a simple kavachomer over here. If fish brine is going to be able to burn the taste out, you don't think real heat can do so? Real heat is certainly better than sear. Now the way Rav Yochanan presents this halacha is that you put it back in the oven, once the pitch melts off, you're so good. and that there's no longer any of the wine taste. Am Rav Ashi lo tema ad nasran. Rav Ashi says, don't take this as literally. Lo tema ad nasran. It doesn't actually fall off. Ela afilu rafai nirfa. Even if the pitch starts loosening, meaning the heat is going to start melting it, once you get to that point, you're already good. Alpha Gavdol Nasser. Even though it doesn't actually fall off. Fine. Okay, big discussion coming up in the Gemara now. Kinsa. Kinsa says Rashi. Right? Second Rashi on the page. Second line of Rashi. Hichnis kismin dolkin lesoch hakankan achenishra zafasa. Here's what you do. Take hot wood chips, coals if you want. Throw it into the earthenware vessel. Is that going to work or is that not going to work? So it's interesting because we already know water 3 day soaking works. We know that fish brine works. We know that putting it in an oven works. Right?
This may not.
Again, it's hard to say because, you know, there's no, you know, it's there's no, this is just a different type of blia. So, you know, hard to say. Well, of course, this is, you know, I don't know if there's a logical progression over here, but Kinsa Pliki by Rav Acha v'Ravina, the Gemara brings down a Machlokas Amarai. Chad Aser v'Chad Shari, one says it's Aser, one says it's Mutter, v'Hilchso Kamanda Aser, the Gemara says unacceptable. Interesting, the wood chips do not work. Rashi writes, look at that, the third Rashi on the page, Hilchso Kamanda Aser, putting it in the oven, says Rashi, is fundamentally different. Because what you're doing is you're applying heat on every side. The pitch inside is melting because of the heat that comes from the outside. So you know that the heat penetrated all the way through, and whatever wine taste is absorbed is going to be totally destroyed. Avahacha, Rashi continues. Kaman shehichnis ha'or miyad zafto, no share. Here, with an internal burning, taking wood chips and putting on the inside, the only thing you know for sure is that the pitch got heated up. Omehacha, fine, period. And that's why it's different, and that's why the Gemara's conclusion is that's no good. And then Rashi continues. Rashi says, therefore, you can't kasher. When I say kasher now, I mean in the traditional classic fashion, you can't kasher earthenware and you can't kasher leather flasks. What we would call hagala, right? Boiling water inside of it, which is what we use for our metal, right? When we have a metal pot that's no longer kosher. So that's how we kosher it through the process called hagala. Rashi says it doesn't work by earthenware, it does not work by leather flasks. So chamayim chamim mida'asa bekinsa dahayna ba'or atzmo kosher came b'masha hucha mimenu. Look, if the wood chips, if the coal is not working out, even though it was placed on the inside, water, and the water is not even the source of heat, the water is being heated by a heating element from the outside, that for sure is no good. And so therefore, when you have earthenware or flasks, the only way to expunge the taste is the 3 day soaking period or 12 months. Now 12 months we haven't seen yet. Tomorrow we're going to discuss more about this 12 month waiting period. Okay. Let's go back to the Gemara. Ibailahu. Maulitan Lasocho Shechar. You have now a wine jug that you bought from a non-Jew. And the Gemara now wants to know, I can't use it for wine, that's for sure, until I kosher it. Can I use it for beer? Rav Nachman, Rav Yehuda, Asher, Rav Ishari. So the Gemara brings down a machlokas. Ravina Shar Leila Rav Chia Bered, Rav Yitzchak Lemirma Bei Shichra. And Ravina allows for his son to... To Rav Chia, the son of Rav Yitzchak, to pour in a little bit of beer. Azarama bechamra. Now, by accident, he poured in wine, and so now the wine that he poured in now absorbed some of the taste of the wine. And even though that happened, so he said that was a mistake, but I'm not going to make a gzera based on just one mistake. Amar kri ba'alma, that was just happenstance. Akri ba'alma who? Rav Yitzchak bar Bisna havalei hanu mane. de Pekusna, Rav Yitzchak Bar Bisna had utensils made out of Pekusna. Okay, Rashi writes, Sheltzefiye Bakar. Okay, utensils made out of the excrement of animals. Now, in the good old days, that went on the open market. Sure, once the excrement is dried out, it makes for very good material, and they make it. Now, in our day and age,
it's very thick,
and it's also very flammable, which we're going to see in just a moment, right? It is. It's a very flammable material.
A lot of nitrogen
in it. So, but in the meantime, however. So you have now kelim made out of excrement. The Gemara says that halachically we treat it like clay cheres. Mm-hmm. It's a porous material. It's very absorbed. No, it doesn't work that way. It absorbs. It's the easier way to say it. So therefore, if you want to kosher it, you're going to have to go through any of the methods that we talked about. 3-day soaking, maybe brine, or putting it back in the oven. So... Malino Maya, Anchino Bishimsha, Paku. So he filled it with water and he let it sit, but he lets it out in the sun and it exploded. Hot sun. Right? Amay Rabbi Abba Asra Sinu Allah Isur de la Ola. Amadam Rabbaname Malino Maya Anuchi Bishimsha Miyamur. You didn't need to leave it out in the sun. That was your mistake. In other words, the Chacham just simply said soak it for 3 days. Sunlight, direct sunlight, that's not part of the equation. You didn't need to do that. Okay. Now things are going to get very difficult just simply because I don't know what we're talking about. Clean ester ain't lo taharo lamis. Clean ester, it is some sort of mineral. It is a utensil made out of what the Gemara refers to as neser. Neser is some sort of mineral that comes from the ground, and it absorbs so much that you cannot expunge the taste out. My clean esther, my viosi bar-oven, kli machfor shel tzrif, debay parzak, not yet, kli machfor shel tzrif, okay? Some sort of mineral that gets from the ground. I don't know how it translates into English. I do know how it translates into Old French, but I don't know if that helps me. So once again, we have now another story where there was a confiscation of utensils. Rama Bahu Khamra, he poured wine into it. Ahadrina na alayhu, and then after using it for wine, he hands it back to him and he says, "Asu shalul Rav Yehuda," and he goes to Rav Yehuda and says, "What do I do? I got a problem." Amar davashay machnisa lakiyum. Who mishach shechan b'mayin vehin mutarin? So he says, hey, no, he didn't use it for storage. He just used it for a one-time usage. Not a big deal. Rinse it, and you're fine. Amra avira hanichatz ve'shechim edarma. You have these jugs that were it's made out of some sort of mineral. I don't know what it is. Shechim edarama kevin de lo balatuva meshach chamamayin umutarin. Again, they do not absorb a lot. Just rinse it with a little bit of water and you're fine. Amra papi, hani pasvasa de beimichse kevin de lo balatuva meshach chamamayin umutarin. Again, these another type of jug made out of some sort of mineral. So rinse it in water and it's fine. Okay, kase. Last topic for today. Cups, goblets, things that are used just at the table, but not for storage. What's the story with these? Rav Asi and Rav Ashi share. Rav Asi and Rav Ashi say it's permissible. Isha Asi Bo Vekochavim Pam Rishon Koleam Lo Pligi Daaser.
Keep pligi. Rav Asi.
I'm sorry. Oh, I skipped. I'm sorry. Rav Asi Asr, Rav Ashi Shari. Okay, I'm sorry. Thank you. Machlokas Amarai. Now, the Gemara frames the Machlokas. Ish Shasi Behu Avikochavim Pam Rishon Kuleyam Lo Pligi Da'asr. Look, this is earthenware. Right? We're talking, these cups are made out of earthenware. Rashi says it straight out. Kosu Shacheres, Vein Machnisim Lakium Elashosim Behem. It's not used for storage, though you just use for drinking, but it's earthenware. And like we discussed today, earthenware is a very porous material. And the story goes like this. If the guy used it the first time, it's done. Because now it has wine absorbed in the kli cheres, and you're done. Now, by the way, when I say you're done, presumably, although the Gemara doesn't make this point clear, but it seems that if you do 3-day soaking, if you do brine, if you put it back in the oven, that would expunge the taste. But just to rinse it is no good. Ki pligi bepam sheni. So, but if you used it already once, which means that essentially all of its pores have in it absorbed your wine, that's okay. Meaning it's okay if they then use it for a brief period of time, because even though it is a porous material, it absorbed for the most part your wine already.
That's the most part.
Now the Gemara has another version of how to say this. First and second time it's also meaning if they use it either a first or a second time, that's gonna have a absorption of their wine. If you used it twice and then give it to them, that's okay. So the Gemara says, okay, and the conclusion goes like this. First and second time, it still is new. It's still, the pores are open, so to say. And on the first or second usage, it will absorb. So if they use it the first or second time, it will then have an absorption of their wine. If you use it one or two times and then they use it, that's okay. Because all the pores are filled in with your wine, and that would be okay. They could use it, and then you just get it back and just rinse it out, and it would be okay. All right, we'll stop over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up from Amar Rav Zvi.